You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is By Many or By Few by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
1 Samuel 14, verse 6 and 7, and it reads, And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, And let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. That would be the Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Come on, read that last part with me again. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. You may be seated. The subject is by many or by few. By many or by few. This is a story of, as often was the case during the early days of Saul's reign as king, as the first king, as well as the second king, David. They often had this thorn in their flesh in the person of the Philistines. Or Philistines, they no longer exist, so they're not here to correct us, whether it's Philistines or Philistines. Remember, it was a Philistine that we first see David come to prominence when he killed Goliath, who he referred to as an uncircumcised Philistine. Uncircumcised, yes, it was about the foreskin of the flesh of the male organ. It was, yes, a physical procedure of circumcision, but more than that, it represented a covenant with God. When God first had a covenant, broke covenant with Abraham, he had him to circumcise Isaac and said, this will be the case with all of the males born through your generation, that they will be circumcised in the flesh, which represents that they have a covenant with God. Everybody say, have a covenant. And even though it is still scientifically proven that being circumcised has some physical benefits, for those of us in the body of Christ, the Bible says that under the New Testament, we have the circumcision of the heart, cutting away of the old way of thinking, the old way of living. And that represents that we are God's people. He belongs to us. We belong to him. And this is during one of these times where they are at war with the Philistines. And Jonathan breaks camp. He and his armor bearer. This is during Saul's era. Jonathan is Saul's son. He breaks camp. And he's with his armor bearers, just the two of them. The army is somewhere else. And he says, listen, let's us two try to do something. We too can go and kill some Philistines and turn them back and diminish their army. And he says, because there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. We don't need the whole army. Just me and you as two men of faith. If God be for us, God can do something with us. Would you look on either side of you and tell him God can do something with us? God can do something with us. God can do something with us. And he says, there is no restraint. If you would put that up for me in a couple other translations, I believe in the New Living Translation and then the Message Translation, if you can distinguish 1 Samuel verse 14 and verse 7, in the verse 6, the King James said there's no restraint, but the New Living Translation, it says, perhaps the Lord will help us. For nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. Come on now. God can win the battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. And then the Message translates, if we can. It's sometimes hard to distinguish that because they don't break it up by verses. But in the Message translation, it says something like there is nothing preventing God. Come on, work with me here now. There is no rule that says God can only deliver by using a big army. Oh, y'all are catching it. See, there's no rule that says that God can only deliver by using a big army. No one can stop God from saving when he sets his mind to it. So I want to let you know that God can do something with you and God can do something with us, whether it be by many or whether it be by few. The way this story ends up going, 1 Samuel 14:14, it says, and they came and they slaughtered the two of them, slaughtered about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which had a yoke of oxen that a yoke of oxen might plow. So two men end up killing 20 men. And so it seemed like it would take maybe one on one, but no, God used two to defeat 20. There's another scripture that says one will chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight. We tend to naturally think that success requires numbers. We tend to naturally think that way, that success requires numbers. We even measure success by numbers. We tend to think in the natural that the more people makes the job more likely to be accomplished, that more will make things easier, that more will produce greater. But that's not always the case. Sometimes more people, more problems. Come on, that's why you got to make up your mind. You're going to live your best life and not go back and forth with these members. Whether it be many or be few. But I'm coming to you today to tell you, don't despise the few. Tell somebody, I'm not going to despise the few. Now, I know some of y'all just got to the church, but those of us who've been in the church for a while, there was a song we used to sing many years ago that said, I'm going through, I'm going through, and I'll pay the price. Y'all don't know that one, do you? With the Lord's despised few. Something like that. I messed it up. I'll pay the price no matter what others do. And I'll take the weight with the Lord's despised few. I started with Jesus and I'm going through. Did anybody remember? I know somebody said they all sound alike. They said that I'll take the way, or take the weight, can't remember, way or weight. It depends on who was singing it, whether they pronounced it. You know, I'll take it with the Lord's despised few. Because many times we tend to despise the few. But I'm here to tell you today, don't despise the few. Don't sleep on the few. God said in Deuteronomy 26:5, he said, thou shalt speak and say before the Lord your God. He says, after you tithe, he says, remind God. He said, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. He said, remember how you started. That's talking about Abraham before God made a nation out of him. He said, remind God that a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and he sojourned there with a few and became there a great, a nation, great, mighty, and populous. Don't sleep on the few, because though thy beginning was small, your latter end should greatly increase. So the scripture there reminds that the nation of Israel, or the Hebrew people, started with one man who went into Egypt with a few, but he became a great nation, a nation great, mighty, and populous. I want you to also know that God will defend the few. God defends the few. Psalm 105:12-15, it says, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Look at somebody and say, you don't know who you're messing with. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved or rebuked or stopped kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. God will defend the few against the mighty. God also promised that he will promote those who are faithful over few things. He said that in Matthew 25 and 23 in the context of those who had the five talents and the two talents and the one, and the one who had five went and got five more, and the one who had two went and got two more, and the one who had one went and buried it. And in that context, he says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over what? A few things. Come on. See, a lot of us, you want a lot of stuff. You want many things, but you got to be faithful over a few things. Everything big starts small. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Don't forget that one of the greatest miracles that's recorded in scripture is in John 6, when Jesus went to feed the 5,000. And he fed them with what some initially despised. First of all, he said even 200 pence. And he said, which means almost a year's wages wouldn't be enough to buy for all these people. And the first thing that Jesus said, not beg. He said, where shall we buy that these may eat? He tested them to see where their faith was. And then I think it was Andrew and Philip who had a conversation there. They said, well, there's a little boy here who has some fish and some loaves, five fish and two loaves. And he said, but what are they among so many? But Jesus had already had in mind that he was going to use the few to feed the many. Throughout the scriptures, God often chooses to use less versus more. The majority, the crowds, the great numbers of people are not all that they cracked up to be. Matthew 7:14 reminds us, it said, narrow, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Just because most of your family ain't saved don't mean you ain't supposed to be saved. Just because most of your folks aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, it don't mean that you're not supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. It got to start with somebody. And it might as well be you. So you have to make up your mind that regardless of the majority, I'm willing to be part of the few that God will use. I've discovered that it's not the many who congregate that God uses, but it's the few who participate. Come on. It's not just enough to congregate. You got to participate. Come on now. Come on. In our worship service, everybody can be in the congregation, but everybody's not involved in the participation. That's why some folks just look at folks. What they doing? Why they running? Why they raising their hand? Why they got their eyes closed? Why tears running down? Come on, you got to stop just congregating and you got to start participating. Crowds sometimes tend to skew one's thinking. I'm sure many of us heard the story about four people. Many of us heard this before. Four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. How many of y'all heard about them before? Okay, this for the sake of those who didn't. The story goes that there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it. But nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So it's not always a crowd. It's those who are willing to get involved and let God use you. God gets more glory when he accomplishes great feats with only a few. God gets more glory. Deuteronomy 7:7-8, God reminds his people, because you can get to the place, You know, we can look in the right direction, you know, and we can talk about what we've done over the last 22 years and 23 years. I was talking with Pastor Jackson from Brookland Baptist this week, and he was here doing a wedding, and we were talking in my study, and we were talking about what we've done and where we're going. And he said, he's the way you pay stuff off. You know, I need you to talk to me about that. And so we can boast about what we've done, but we can't forget we started with a few. And every now and then God takes us back to that place to say, don't look at them, look at me. Because the many, when you start having confidence in the many will leave you. And God will remind you of Genesis 1:1, the first four words of the scripture. In the beginning, God. Not man, come on now. Not woman. I know some of you have been through a divorce. But in the beginning, God, not husband. In the beginning, God, not wife. Come on, I know some of you, your children, they've gotten grown and forgot what you've done for them. But not in the beginning, children. In the beginning, God. Come on now. I know you lost a job and you wonder what's going to happen with your job. They told them they're going to lay people off. Not in the beginning, job. In the beginning. And God will often remind us that everything comes from him and starts with him. So God reminds his people in Deuteronomy 7:7-8. He said, the Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you because you are more in number than any people. He said, don't be smelling yourself. Don't get too big for your britches. For you were the fewest of all people. He said, but the reason why God chose you is because the Lord loved you. Oh, come on, come on. The thing about God's love is his love is an unconditional love. See, that's why you don't know God when you go around telling, saying stuff like God hates homosexuals. No, you don't know the love of God. Come on. That God hates drunkards. No, you don't know the love of God. That God hates people who've had an abortion. No, you don't know the love of God. The love of God is an unconditional love. God loves because he can't help himself. He loves because he is love. See, the rest of us, we love. Love got to come on us. We got to grow in love. We got to try to love. God just loves because he can't do anything else. God is love. He says, but because he loved you and because he would keep the oath that he swore to your fathers. That's why the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. That's why God redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Somebody say, God loves me like that. Even our calling, for those of us who know we have a call of God on our life, the truth of the matter is all of us have a call of God in our life in some area. Everybody's not going to have pulpit ministry. Everybody's not going to have a platform ministry. Everybody's not going to preach the word and shake a mic. But everybody has some type of calling. But even the scripture reminds us, for those of us who sometimes we can get the big head or get arrogant regarding our calling. He reminds us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 through 29. God reminds us. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. He said, in the truth of the matter, he said, not many are called. Not many of these wise folks, you so smart. On the way to church this morning, I saw on the news, there's a young man graduating from, the town is Ulysses. I don't know what state he's in, but a small town, Ulysses. And he's graduating from high school and from Harvard at the same time. Kid's a genius. While he was going to high school, he skipped grades all through. But while he was going to high school, he was also going to Harvard. So as he's graduating from high school, he's also getting his Harvard degree. And now he already got his mind set as he's graduating this year on Pennsylvania Avenue in the year 2040. Now, the truth is, God said, this kid's brilliant. He's a genius and all that. But the truth of the matter, God said, now, it's not many of those folks that I call. Verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things to which are mighty. God said, I will use just a few good men. I'll use just a few good women. I don't need a big majority. I don't need all the degrees, even though not wrong degrees. Thank God for them. I got a couple myself. Okay. But God said, that's not what I'm looking for. But I'm looking for somebody who recognizes I am God and will not take my glory. The truth of the matter, it is few that tend to respond to the call of God for action when something needs to be done. Matthew 22, it talks about where the Lord, he sends out, he says that the feast is ready. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. And people begin to make excuses. And the story is summed up by Jesus saying in Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. It's not the fact that you're called. It's the fact whether you'll be chosen. You can be called and never chosen because it's preparation to be chosen. Come on now. There's prerequisites to be chosen. You can be called, but now you got to show up. In the context, he talked about people who showed up, but they didn't dress right. In other words, they want to do their own thing when there were specific rules to how you got to show up. If any man would therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, fitting me for the master's use. Yeah, there's some things we got to do to be chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Now let me bring this in full context. As we go forward in the building of the Right Direction Sanctuary, we are adopting this motto, by many or by few. Look at somebody and say, by many or by few. Got to give my son in the gospel, Pastor Trey Brave, credit for this, because we were down at the Orangeburg Revival a couple weeks ago, and he preached a message, and I don't remember anything else he said. Y'all know y'all do the same thing when I preach. I preach for an hour. Y'all remember one little thing. So he in good company. I don't remember what else he said, but he came across this scripture that we use as our text today. Let's go across and go against the Philistine, because who says whether the Lord can do it by many or by few? And that thing leaped in my spirit. And it caused something to turn over in me. That as we go forward with this $15 million project, we are adopting this phrase, by many or by few. Come on, high five at least two people saying, say by many or by few. By many or by few. In the text, then New Living Translation, perhaps the Lord will help us. Nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win the battle whether he has many warriors or few. Message Translation, there's no rule that God can only deliver by using a big army. No one can stop God from saving when he sets his mind to do it. Now, we're believing for $15 million to do it completely. We're looking at a minimum of trying to get at least $5 million to start it, and then $10 million to complete it. And it will happen by many or by few. Now, it would be great if God used 15 million people to give $1. It would be great if God used 7.5 million people to give $2. Some of y'all can count. It would be great if God used 5 million people to give. Okay, some of y'all said you're going too deep now, Pastor. $3. But on the other hand, God can use one person to give $15 million. On the other hand, God can use two people to give $7.5 million. God can use three people to give $5 million. God can use 1,000 people to give $15,000, or God can use 500 people to give $30,000. It can happen by many or by few. There's no rules, there's no limits to how God can get it to us. God gets more glory, the truth of the matter, when the numbers are few. And it looks like we're in the minority. We remember the story of Gideon. God calls Gideon in Judges, the sixth chapter. Pick up here in verse 14, the New Living Translation says, "Then the Lord turned to him," that's Gideon, "and said, 'Go with the strength you have.'" God, I like that. Go with the strength you have. See, well, God, I need more of this. Go with the strength you have. I need more people. Go with the people you have. I need more staff. Go with the staff you have. I need more volunteers. Go with the volunteers you have. Lord, I need more anointing. Use the anointing you already got. Use the strength you already have and rescue Israel, in this case, from the Midianites. I am sending you. "But Lord," Gideon replied, "how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." And the Lord said to him, "I will be with you. You will destroy the Midianites as if you're fighting against one man."
God will get it done by many or by few. That's the example from his word. Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us that no matter what God calls us to do, if we are obedient, he will make it happen, whether by many or by few. Order this single message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for "By Many or by Few."
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.